We have Susan Peters on. She's host of a really cool true crime podcast. And in this particular one, she's talking about BTK. Have you heard about the serial killer BTK?
Yes.
Do you know what BTK stands for?
Yeah, I never knew.
No, it's not bacon, tomato.
The Burger King, no.
Yeah, no, no.
No.
Susan?
Hello, guys.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good. What does BTK stand for?
Bind, torture, and kill.
Okay.
All right.
That's rough, yeah.
And this guy named himself.
Right.
He named himself BTK.
Where did it start for him?
It started for him in, well, his first murder was in 1974. But according to him, it started for him when he was a young boy, that he always had this thing called Factor X, that he named Factor X. And Factor X was his other personality that came out when he was 20-some years old after he got married and made his first killing in 1974. He stalked his prey, and he stalked a young lady named Josefina Otero and was going to stalk her and figured out that everybody left the house around 8 o'clock. Well, it was different that day, and because it was snowing, so they didn't leave the house at 8 o'clock. So he ended up in the house with Mr. and Mrs. Otero and young Joseph and Josie Otero, and he killed all four of them, mom and dad, the 12-year-old, and the 9-year-old.
Damn.
And that's how it started for him in 1974. And nobody knew that this was the beginnings of a serial killer. Nobody knew. And so it continued into the 70s. There were more killings. Still, nobody knew in Wichita that this was a serial killer until BTK sent a letter to the local newspaper, the Wichita Eagle, and said, "How many more people do I have to kill before I get publicity?" And that's when it all broke loose.
Okay. And then were they able to connect dots after that?
His last killing that they knew of was in 1979. And then he disappeared. He disappeared because after each killing, he would make a communication with KAKE-TV, which is the station I worked for. I didn't work there in the 70s, but KAKE-TV or the Wichita Eagle or some media outlet, okay? So he would make a communication. Well, after 1979, his last killing, he disappeared. He never made any more communications. He was never caught in the 70s. Despite the fact there was a task force, I mean, there was a concerted effort to catch this guy. Never caught him. He disappeared. Everybody thought he was dead or in prison.
Right.
When I got here to the CBS affiliate in the mid-80s, he was a legend. Everybody said, okay, he's either dead or in prison. He hasn't killed since 1979.
How many people did he kill between 74 and 79?
Seven.
All right, so four then, on day one,
right?
And then three
four
more
on day one, and then three after that. And he claimed responsibility for all seven of them. And then he disappeared. And all through, he was having children at this point, so he had two kids, got married, had a job.
So wild.
So he was, you know, busy doing other things, I guess. But he always had these fantasies. All these years, he had these fantasies. Well, little did we know that in 1985, he killed Vicki Weggerle. In 1990 and 91, he did. He killed two, well, I say elderly. They were 50-something ladies in his neighborhood. But no one knew it was BTK because he didn't claim those. When he killed in 85 and 90 and 91, he never laid claim to them. So other people were suspected of those killings. Fast forward to 2004, the 30th anniversary of his first killings. And you know how media does all kinds of retrospectives. It's the 30th anniversary of the first BTK killing, and here's the BTK story. So everybody was doing the story, including the local newspaper. He did not like that. He wanted to write his own story. So in March of 2004, he wrote to Channel 10, KAKE, and said, this is the BTK story, and this is what I did. I also killed Vicki Weggerly, sent a copy of her license and her jewelry to the newspaper. And so we knew BTK had reappeared. The next day, the police held a news conference and said, BTK is still alive and well and threatening. The next week, we got, at Channel 10, we got a letter that said, this is the BTK story, and it was chapters 1 through 13. 1 through 13. He just named all the chapters. And chapter 13 was, will there be more? Scared the heck out of all of us. And that started a year-long search for this killer that had disappeared for all these years.
If he just stayed disappeared, he would have been fine. How did they finally catch him? Then I got to let you go.
You know, they finally caught him by, he kept sending letters to us. He kept sending letters to the media.
Right.
And then he sends a floppy disk to a television station with more clues on it. Well, little did he know that they could track where the floppy disk came from. And they tracked it to the church he goes to. He was president of his church. And then that's how they caught him.
So creepy.
Yep.
Crazy.
Suzanne,
we'd
love to have you on when you're not on one of these limited tours. You're great, by the way. Great job.
Yeah.
And I want to listen to that podcast. So thank you.
It drops today, the first two episodes, and it's got all new interviews, all new insight into who this guy is and his mind and just what he went through. And he's still alive in prison 30 miles from where I am in Wichita, Kansas.
Holy crap. Suzanne Peters, host of True Crime Podcast, Monster BTK, dropping today. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good one.
All right, you too. I could talk to her all day.
BTK.
Well, the crazy thing is if you're right, if he didn't, you know, want to shine again into what sending all that stuff.
If he didn't need the attention.
He could have gotten away with it.
Yeah.
It's because of technology now. They were able, which I think is insane. That's crazy.
It's amazing.
He was married. His wife had no idea.
Well, he was sitting there seeing retrospect stories like, no. Right. You're making me look bad.
Right, for God's sake.
I'm not bad.
No.
Yeah.
Here's the story.
And then now in jail forever.
Imagine if he didn't go to jail, then he was still around, and then the show X Factor came on.
Oh, my God.
And he came on. He's like, oh, I have Factor X.
Right.
Oh, God.
Okay, so what's your talent? I kill people.
I reveal things.
Yeah, right?
See, folks.
Yeah, he got away with it for a long time.
Wow.
Jeez.
I think we're talking different Factor X's here.
Yeah. That'd be hysterical.
Let's go to X Factor.
Yeah, that's not... All right, I guess that's a talent. Very good.
Right.
Well, who can validate these claims? Well, they're not around. Right. You're going to have to take me at my word.
Here's an idea. You tell them no.
Yeah. I don't know. Why is this so intriguing? Why are those serial killer stories so intriguing?
Because they got away with it, because they're capable of doing it, because they're acting like what they did was normal and it's not. Like,
but
you know
people
what I mean?
In the mob do that, and we're fascinated with those stories. I guess it is, right, we value human life. Normal humans value human life.
Yeah.
And then when you see someone who's able to go through life, having a normal life over here,
yeah.
Father, member of the church,
and they ended up
husband, but you're over here, right. My hobby is killing people.
It's the fear. It could be anyone. Like, it could be you, could be me, could be Ruth. We all could be murderers behind the scenes. We have no idea. I have no idea what you do. I don't know, maybe.
Yeah.
But do you know what I mean? That's why people are fascinated,
what it is, though?
Think,
those people are off. We were talking about creepy people before.
Yes. Oh,
some of those people.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you said, oh, and then we found out.
Yeah.
He murdered three people. We'd be like, okay, well, he was sniffing hair.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, putting his pelvis into people's faces.
Right.
I could kind of see this.
Right. Yeah. No, yeah.
Sounds like a good podcast. It does. It's one of those, you know, you listen to it and you turn the lights down low and.
And she's got a connection working at the same station that he used to contact.
That's what I was thinking.
She knows the story inside and out.
Definitely.
Backwards, forwards.
I want to listen to her.
And maybe has more information than the average investigator because of it.
Right.
The interviews are going to be good, too.
Yeah.
I want them to.
She'll have access.